The Karban Pesach we think of intuitively as a Karban Yachid. The Gemara here says that the Braisa last page called it a Karban Yachid. It's being paid for and bought by individuals and not by the Truman Halishkar. It's not coming from the Machas HaShakel. And yet, right, we had like three main sugyot we had to that were brought up either by the Gemara or by the Rishonim, right, which indicated that things could be more complicated, right? The first of those three was the issue of Ein Shochtin Pesach al Hayachid, right? The reason why our Gemara here tells us that Rav Sheshes thought that you cannot make a temuran on a carbon Pesach was because we don't shech the carbon Pesach for a Yachid, right? We talked about the Rashash's question that what does this have to do with Temura, since you could sanctify the Karban Pesach as an individual and then bring in an owner a little bit later. And we had a couple of answers to that question. But then the main issue we saw was really like a three-way machlokas in the Tanaim, right? On one extreme, we had Rabbi Yehuda. I mix them up every single time. We had Rabbi Yehuda, right, on in the Mishnah on Pesachim Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda, who said that you can't shecht a Karban Pesach for a Yachid, right? And we thought we had like the Balabatish svara for that, right? Which was clear from the Gemara wasn't true, right? What was the Balabatish svara for Rabbi Yehuda? You can't eat it all, right? One person can't eat the Karban Pesach, so that's why you have to have it for multiple people. And how did we know that that was not what Rabbi Yehuda thought? Right? That he thinks this is like a fundamental halacha and not just a technical, you know. You go to the pasuk, exactly, right? And he had the drash on the pasuk, right? V'shachatu sapesach be'echad, right? Which our printed Gemara cut off the rest of the pasuk, which makes it look like it's explicit in the pasuk, when really it's a drasha because he dropped off the be'echad she'arecha. Okay, so that's one view, right? You can't shach karban pasach for a yachid. Pretty provocative view, because that sounds like you're supposed to have multiple people involved. So at minimum, it seems like it's a karban of shetvin. Then we had on the other extreme, right, Rabbi Yossi, who said that you totally could shach the pasach for a yachid. And then we had the position of the Chachamim, later on Daf Tzadi Heyam and Aleph, right, who the Rambam haskin like, and that was where Rav from Ben Rambam seemed to have not been in shir that day, right, because he didn't have that Gemara. Where the Chachamim say that lechachila you should shech the Karban Pesach for a group, and right, and bidyevet you do it for one person. And the Rambam quoted a pasuk for that also, and that was v'shachatu oso, right? That the Chumash describes the shechita occurring in the plural, right? V'shachatu oso. So that tells you that lechachila should be done by groups. Okay, right. That's like an interesting. That's we end off at an interesting point where we have this. Lechachila drasha, right? That, you know, mida oraisa, you have lechachila and a bidyabed, and the Torah is aspiring for one reality, and we would want to know, like, why. Right? That's just like a bit of a strange phenomenon. Okay, so that was the issue of Ein Shocht and HaPesach al HaYachid. The second point which came up in the Gemara was this issue of Kenufya, right? That the Karban Pesach is brought in a gathering. The Gemara suggested that, right, the Gemara asked, why is the Chagiga called a Karban Tzibor, but the Pesach is called a Karban Yachid, right? And the Gemara says, well, don't tell me it's because the Chagiga is brought Biknufya, don't tell me it's because the Chagiga is brought in a big gathering when all of the Jews get together on Har Bayis, right, and for Yontif, because obviously the Karban Pesach is also brought Biknufya, right? And then we talked about the trampling Pesach, right, and the kidneys and all the great moments there. So the Gemara said, oh, well, you know, with Pesach, you also have Pesach Sheni, right? You have when we talk about Karban Pesach, that refers to two different Karbanos, Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. And even though Pesach Rishon, of course, is brought to Kenufia, it's brought by everybody on Tesvav Nisan, right? We're not going to call it Pesach Sheni Kenufia because it's not brought on a day of Aliyah L'Regel, right? It's just brought by the people who need to bring their Pesach Sheni. So really, Pesach Rishon is brought b'knufya, and the Gemara never really rejected the argument that asi b'knufya could have ramifications for being considered a karban tzibor, right? So we wanted to know, right, is there any other evidence in Shas, right, beyond our Gemara, where asi b'knufya is being taken seriously to indicate that we have karban tzibor? We had this in two different places, right? We had this with Rashi and Tosfot, right? Does anybody remember either the Rashi or the Tosfot? Rashi and Psachim and Tosos and Yoma. Any chance?
Rashi says, because it's a Knufia, they've heard the Karban Tzibor. 61.
Yeah, right. That was the Gemara in Pesachim, which said that, right, the Mishnah said we have five karbanos which are brought, b'tumah, right? And the Gemara asked, well, you give me a number, that always means you're trying to exclude one, right? Because we know how to count. So if you tell me that there are five, that means that we're excluding something that you would have thought is in the list. So Gemara says we're excluding Chagiga, and Rashi says, yeah, right, Chagiga is a carbon tzibur because, how do you know Chagiga is a carbon tzibur, says Rashi?
Because
it's brought by Kenufia, right? So we're seeing Rashi says that Kenufia is retained as indicating carbon tzibur. And in Tosos, on Davav, that was like beautiful. That was, you know, we could, like our dream, what our dream to have a Rishon set, right? Which is what Tosos says that you have. Right, the stira in Rava is tuma hutra bitzibur, or is tuma dechuya bitzibur, right? Is it like lichachila? Don't worry about it. Get the tame kohen to do the avoda for you, or should you ideally try to get someone who's tahar? And Tosa said the difference is between all other karbanos, right, and the karban pesach, right? Karban pesach is dechuya. All other karbanos tzibur are hutra bitzibur, right? And what was the basis for distinguishing between karban pesach and everything else? So this is just Pesach, right? Pesach Sheni is not brought be Tuma, right? So if you're Tameh and you mess Pesach Sheni, then you're out. But Pesach Rishon would be brought by the nation if they were Tameh. So why do we try to hunt down a Kohen if we can get one? Why do we try to hunt down a Tahar Kohen if we can get one? But let's say for the Musaf that we're going to bring on Pesach, right, the very next day, you can get whatever tummy kohen you want. Doesn't matter. It's tum hutra bet sibur.
Because the karban pesach isn't the karban sibur like all the rest of them in the same way. Because everyone really is obligated to do it.
Right. Exactly. So he said it's not. It's a karban. It is a karban sibur since it's brought by kenufia, but it's not a karban sibur gamor since it's being brought by all the people. Right. Which is, you know, like touchdown giants. That's amazing. Tosos is calling it a carbon seabor because it's being brought by Kenufia, so that's like exactly what I want someone to say. He's also saying that it's not a full-blown carbon seabor, which seems to acknowledge all the evidence and the intuitions that we had from the beginning, right? And the fact that it's in this sort of middle zone, Tosos have an afkamina, right? Is Tuma going to be hutra b'tzibur like it is for full carbon, seabor? No, right? It's dechuya, right? It's like somewhere between carbon yachid, which can't be brought by Tuma at all, and carbon seabor, which is brought no problems, no questions asked, right? This is like in between Tuma dechuya b'tzibur. If the congregation is Tame, you may bring it in a state of impurity, but if you had an option not to, you should take advantage of it, right? That's carbon pesach between yachid and seabor. Carbon seabor, but not a carbon seabor gamma. Okay, so that was part two, right, of Asi b'Kenufia, and then part three we had was the issue which was raised by Rabbeinu Elchanan in the Tosos Yeshanim. Right, our Brisa had said that this carbon is noheg b'yachid kibat seabor, right? It is active with yachid and with the congregation. So Tosos Yeshanim asks, wait a second, what on earth does Noeg B'Yachid Kibbutz Tzibur mean for Karban Pesach? So Rabbeinu Elchanan said, oh, this must be a certain view in the Mishnah, right? This must be the view of Rabbi Nassan in Psachim Ayin Ches, I think, right? Yeah, Daf Ayin Ches, right? Where Rabbi Nassan said that all of Yisrael could be Yotze with a single Karban Pesach, right? That if all of Yisrael brings one Karban Pesach, even though they're obviously not all going to eat a kazayas of the Karban Pesach, because it's being brought by everybody, you could that could work. And which raises the question, like according to Rabbi Nassan, if the whole tzibur is bringing the Karban Pesach, like how does this work? And we had Rav Kasha, right, in the Torah Shleima, who said, yeah, it seems like this is being brought as a Karban tzibur, right? So according to Rabbi Nassan, you have two tracks. You have the track of Karban Yachid, right, which is going to be eaten, and you have the track of Karban tzibur. And then the last thing, which was just a suggestion, was that the Mechilta that Rabbi there of Kasher quotes not the view of Rabbi Nassan, but it quotes the view of a different Tana, it quotes the view of Rabbi Eliezer, right? And Rabbi Eliezer had said explicitly that it's not, you know, you can just bring a Karban Pesach as an individual, or you can bring it as a tzibur. He said, in the event that we don't have enough sheep, then, right, the whole tzibur brings it together, right? So, lechachila, everybody should bring their own. B'dieved, you have the tzibur bring their own. I just noted that Urbinasa never said that, right? Urbinasa never said this is only in a situation where there are no other sheep available. So could you potentially, you know, make like a really radical claim and say that Urbinasa thinks that there are straight up two tracks of carbon Pesach, right? You could take the Yachid track, you could take the Tzibur track. I don't know why on earth you would take the Tzibur track, because that means that you're losing out on the mitzvah of Achilas HaPesach. But, right, like, could we, to what extent are these, you know, L'chachila b'dyaved versus, like, track one, track two? It's probably very hard to say track one, track two, but theoretically could be possible. At any rate, Rabbi Nassan is highlighting this idea that there is, you know, we could kind of not just look at the Karban Pesach as a combination of Yachid and Tzibur, maybe we should be looking at the Karban Pesach as two distinct obligations, right? A Yachid kind of Karban Pesach and a Tzibur kind of Karban Pesach. Okay, so now that was just like a survey of the evidence, right? So that's where we left off last time. And what we have to get to tonight is like to actually come up with like some explanations for what this means, right? We have, you know, if somebody would tell us that the Karban Pesach is a Karban Tzibur, we would not laugh them off, right? There is concrete evidence with which to go on. And now we need to try to come up with some explanations. Last piece of evidence. Did we talk about Tosfos Rid last time? Remember?
I don't think we talked about it.
Okay. So it's short and sweet, right? So it's on page. Do we talk about the Sfarno? Let's talk about the Sfarno.
I don't think so.
Oh man. Okay. Yeah. So they're awesome. Okay. The Sfarno is really great. So does anyone, one person want to say the Tosfos Rid, and one person say the Sfarno? Tosfos Rid is short, right? This is on the bottom of page one, right? Second to last source on the source quotes. Tosfos Rid Psachim Samach Dalet Amid Aleph.
Right, so that they would, you know, blow the shofar, they would during while shechting the Pesach, mm-hmm. as it's carbon tzibor.
Right. It's actually not the shofar. This is actually the
chatzotzeros.
Exactly. Excellent. Right. They blow the chatzotzeros and Tosfos says, you know, casually, right. This Tosfos we know and love, right. Just, you know, dropping chidushim without any, you know, as if they're obvious, right. The carbon Pesach is a carbon tzibur, and that's why it gets chatzotzeros, right. We blow chatzotzeros for carbon tzibur. If you bring a personal, I believe so, yeah. If you bring your own carbon shlamim or your own carbon ola, we're not, you know, the kohanim are not breaking out the trumpets, right? So that happens for carbon Pesach. Says to us, yeah, right, carbon Sibur. Okay, fine. So we've got that. The Sfarno, this is awesome. I love the Sfarno. Right. So what's the question of the Rasha and the Haggadah?
No,
that was Oslachem, right? Why is that the question of the Rush?
I thought you said the Rush.
Oh, the Rush, sorry.
Yeah,
oh, man.
To know.
Oh, the famous Rush in the Haggadah. Okay, so, right, so Mavad Oslachem, right? Lachem v'lo lo, right? He's asking, what is the service for you? And how do you respond? Yeah, right, you punch out his teeth. So he can't eat the food. But in the Chumash, right? So that's in the Haggadah. In the Chumash, that's not the response that he gets, right? In the Chumash, it's a serious question. I'm going to give a serious answer, right? Zevach Pesachu, etc., etc. So the Sfarno wants to explain what exactly, right, on the Pshat level, what exactly does it mean? How about the Zos Lachem? What is he asking? So the Sfarno says, yeah, right, because the Karban Pesach has a few odd features. So if you read, and we have to read this a little carefully to see why I put this on here. So the Sfarno explaining the question says, right, Ma avada zos lachem, why is this a weird avoda? Why is the Karban Pesach strange? She'ina bayom mika kodesh kishar kabanos, right? Point number one, right, every other carbon of the holiday is brought on the holiday, right? And all of a sudden, Karban Pesach is being brought the day before. Velo toch zman shar kabanos, shehu mitamesh ha-shachar tamashin arvayin. Number two, right, it's being brought after office hours, right? Every other carbon has to be brought between the time of the two tamids, right? And the Karban Pesach is brought after the tamid shel bein harbayim, right? So it's being brought on the wrong date. It's being brought the wrong time of day. So those are two strange points. And strange point number three, and here's one for us. The lama lo yaspik karban echad lekol Yisrael. Why don't we suffice with one carbon for all of Yisrael? Kimo b'sha'ar karbanos tzibur, like we do with all other Karbanot Tzibur. So why is this exciting?
Karban
Tzibur. Yeah. So, but is he saying that the Karban Pesach is a what's he saying with Karban Pesach, right? So it's different from the Karbanot Tzibur. But what's he saying with Karban Pesach? If you read it carefully, is he calling it a Karban Tzibur? Is he calling Karban Pesach a Karban Tzibur or not?
You're saying it has the same similar features.
No,
but then it's Kimo Bishar Karban Tzibur, like the rest of them. So it implies that the Karban Pesach is in that category.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Right?
Yeah. Otherwise, that Bishar wouldn't be there.
Exactly.
Be
right.
Kimo Bikarban.
How do you translate in English?
Like the other carbonates.
Yeah. Why don't we suffice with one sacrifice like we do with the rest of the communal sacrifices? It sounds like this is a carbon seaboard. Right? The Sfarno is just like assuming that for the Rasha, right? Or, you know, or the earnest son, right? Pasuk is the earnest son. Yeah, he's earnest. It's a serious question, right? This is a troubling avoda. Ma'avoda zos lachem. We have answers. What's the answer? So the answer to that third question is the last sentence of Pasuk Chav Zayin. V'hutzach kol echad lahakriv, ki hanes nasa l'kol yachad b'fnei atzmo, v'lo b'tzibor b'chlal. Right, the reason why this carbon tzibor is brought by every single person, right, is to remember the fact, right, that the nes, right, of the Pesach, right, involved every individual house, right? The fact that, you know, it wasn't a nes that was chal on the tzibor as a whole, right, like Matan Torah happens with the Tzibur, right? Nanei Akavod happened for the Tzibur, right? Pesach, so, you know, the Shechina, the Mabes comes and the Mashchis and skips this Jewish house and then wipes out that Bechor and then skips that Jewish house, right? So this was an ace on the Yachid, and that's why this carbon Tzibur is being brought by every individual Yachid, right? Because we're trying to recognize that aspect. Okay, cool. So that's a great Sfarno, and we have someone saying it's a carbon Tzibur, but being brought by individuals, and we're going to try to hammer that home. Let's skip the two Rashis on the next bit of the source codes, because we're going to try to save those for like our third theory about carbon Pesach. So let's give two others. Okay, so first, this is not in the quotes. Let me get it open, because the first theory I want to talk about was the theory of Rav Kasher. So let's get that one second.
Is that the
Zerah? The Zerah. We'll talk about the Zerah Avram in a second. This was Torah Shlema.
We saw that. No, we didn't see that one. That was the last one we didn't see.
I don't remember.
Okay. Where do I have it?
There were two Torah Shlemas.
There were two, yeah, there were two Torah Shlemas. Okay, no problem. But I need to get it open. So one second, sorry.
No, we did read this one,
though. There were two. We read the first one.
Oh, okay. Where's the second one?
Oh, I just gave it in Hebrew books.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh man, I brought it last time. I forgot to bring it tonight. Okay.
I'm almost there.
Like that.
Oh no, it's going too fast.
Oh, what was there?
I passed it long ago, and now I have to find it again.
Okay, it's page 81 in the PDF.
Yeah, great.
Have it open.
Got there. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we talked about Torah Shlema and how he quotes you
everything.
So if you look at the Torah Shabbat Pes section for Tzadi Zion Star, so the pasuk was if one house does not have enough to have a sheep, right, so then it combines with the house next door. Right, so what does Targum Yonasan say? By the way, you should write in the Bar Ilan, They have the Targum Yonasan, and now they also have the Kasser Yonasan, which is like some Israeli person, I think, who just wrote a Hebrew translation of the Targum Yonasan, which is helpful because, I mean...
It's hard to understand.
Yeah, I mean, read it, right? Like, what does this mean? This is an intense Aramaic. Ve'ein ze'irin an she'bisa miminin asara k'mesas l'mechal imra. Okay, so what does it say? It says... So right, unlike Unkelus, right, Targum Yonasan on the Chumash, pseudo John, I think they call him, does not just give a translation, right? Targum Yonasan gives you it's an early medrash basically, right? He gives you interpretation as well. So how does he interpret imimat habayis miyos miseh? Ve'in ze'irin inshe besa miminyan asara. You do not have 10 people in your house. Right. He puts a number on it. He says, if you don't have 10 people in your house, kemisas lemechal imra, right, in order to eat the sheep, then you team up with the house next door. So, so he talks about that. So, yeah, why are you asking the question?
I'm curious. It comes up like we talked about. There's just like another.
There's a core assumption you're making when you ask that question, though.
Like somewhat of a minion.
100%, right. You're assuming that this means a minion.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Right. You're not a... What would be the other way you could interpret this passage?
Like a count of 10 people. Like, just
putting... You could, in theory, interpret this as just saying, like, you know, normally the number of people who are needed to eat a sheep are 10 people.
Yeah.
Right? So when we say you need 10 people to eat the sheep, so does he mean... You need 10 people to eat the sheep, because normally 10 people is who eats the sheep. Or is he saying, like, our shear for eating the sheep is 10 people? So Rakel agrees with your instinct, because Rakasher says, Targum Yonasan says, you need a minion. Your chabura has to be 10 people. So that's an interesting question. So is it, it's not, I don't think we call it Dvar B'Kedusha, because they're not, You're not saying Kedusha, right? This is not to activate a Kaddish or a Kedusha.
Like something very holy. Is there any way you can say it's a more formal minion? But since women are obligated to eat Korban Pesach, it's just part of that formal minion.
So that's what he talks. So he talks about this at the end. So yeah. So step one, he says it's a minion. So we'll get some of the evidence. So you want to know, right? Did we ever did Yahargo Yavo? So at the very end, right, this footnote, Tzadi Zion Star, goes on for like a page. So at the end, he says, right, once I've brought you my proofs to convince you of this idea that actually the Chabura should be a minion, so now I need to ask, right, so who does this minion comprise of? So he quotes Rav Yaakov Emden, who talks, there's another area in Halacha actually very closely relevant to Purim. Almost relevant to Purim. Basically relevant to Purim. Which is the question of Yahargo Yavor.
Yeah, it is relevant to Esther.
Exactly, it's relevant to Esther, right? Esther comes up in that discussion.
Yeah.
It's just not exactly in that line in the Gemara.
Yeah, yeah.
But, right, so normally Yahargo Yavor is the big three, right? Gi, right, Shichatamim, and Avodah Zarah, right? Everything else is out. So there are two major exceptions. You know, there are two major exceptions, and we do not say that Yahargo Yavor is limited to the big three. Sorry? Exactly.
And
before Hesia, right? So how do we understand before Hesia?
In front of a minion.
In front of a minion.
Well, sorry.
What?
No, nothing.
Okay, so
nothing.
Exactly. Right. So if the non-Jew is going to force you to violate an aveira before Hesia, so then that becomes Yiharig Bal Yavor as well. Right, even if it is something as minor as araxa de mesana, right, the shoelace, the mysterious shoelace. What exactly is going on there? Okay, I'll explain later. So, farhesi means a minion. So, does that mean a minion of men, or does that mean a minion of Jews? So, Rabbi Yaakov there says, well, it means a minion of Jews because it, you know, whoever's included in the chiyuv. Right, so Rav Kasher quotes this Rav Yaakov Emden at the end of this piece, and he says, right, who had the name of Korban Pesach? Right, you need this is a minion where it's a minion of both men and women. Right, so you just need 10 people. Fine, so that's cool, but he has some interesting proofs. One of the proofs he has is from the story of of Hillel and B'nai B'seira. Do you know the story of how Hillel Zaken becomes a Nasi? So
I just had a question.
Yeah.
So you said that he comes to the conclusion that women count for the minyan.
Mm-hmm.
But we are sort of confused because he spends a lot of time talking about how like Heishat Tefela in front of
how what?
Heishat is Tefel in compare with the men.
He talks about that here?
Yeah, in the next page, in 82, he spends half a page talking about that. He talks about
Where are you?
In 82.
Right. What word does the line? Honestly, I
so here, if you see that tzadik with pshachim tzadik dot dot le'el od tzadik.
So, what's the first word in the line?
Ze shabai tzibur mistalfin.
Okay, yeah.
So at the end of that line, it says shelari yisha b'shnei reshut ve'osin etat tefila le'acherim. לפי מה שאמר שלרי בא לכתחיל הציבור שעשה פירוש תפילה לאחרים אף על פי שאינו חייבת יכולה להשלים. So he goes through this whole I didn't quite understand how that entirely fit in, because it seemed to be saying that he was like he seemed to be bringing another opinion that women are not obligated for this, but they're like somehow tafel and therefore can be included, and like I was kind of confused about where exactly he was going with that.
Okay, I'm not honestly, I skimmed that part over, so I'm not sure what he's talking about.
Maybe it's that they were obligated, but they're less preferred, presumably because they eat less.
Is he talking about Karban Pesach there? I don't know what's going on in the Gemara.
Yeah.
Did you look at what's going on in the Gemara? Do you know?
I think it's still
Karban Pesach. Makes sense.
It's the same. Oh. So.
Yeah, no, I know.
Oh, you're saying from the Pesachim Gemara, yeah. We didn't check it as much. We were just trying to get through it, but we kind of.
Okay. I'm not sure. The part I was talking about was at the end of this piece, where he, the one that, where does it start in here? Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the seventh to last line, which begins Shelasara, and then you have a period. And then he says, in Rashi Tevot, Valpi Masha Kasafti, Nirali, Lifshot Sveiko, Shel Baal Chesed Lavram, Im Nashim Itzdarfos Lahashlem, etc., etc. Right. Ah, so the question. Interesting. Okay, so the question. I didn't realize this. The question he's dealing with at the end, right? The Rambam is so the Mishnah said you had three groups of Jews going in for the Karban Pesach, right? And you had to have a total of 50, right? You have to have a total of 50, which would, you know, you could break up as long as there was a minimum of 10 in each group, right? So it could be 30, 10, and 10. And the Rambam thought that is ma'akif, not just like something you're supposed to do. The Rambam thought that if you can't get 50 Jews, you don't bring a Karban Sibur. You don't bring a Karban Pesach, which is another source that people quote when they try to prove there's a Karban Sibur element in the Karban Pesach, right? Like, why do we need to have a certain number of Jews bringing it? Otherwise, right, like, it's a little bit strange. So people say, oh, the fact that the Rambam says you need to have a minimum number, right, tells you this is like a Karban Sibur without some... what's the word I'm looking for? Critical mass of without some critical mass of Jews, you can't. It's absurd to call this Karban Sibur. So that's why that's what some people want to say for that Rambam.
It could also just be like we're bringing in the Knuffia, and that doesn't necessarily equal Karban Sibur.
But why do we take Knuffia so seriously?
As a common thing that I guess I wouldn't bring.
Okay, I don't know. So I didn't realize that. So I honestly, I got the so as long as skim. So he wants to argue. Yeah. So he wants to argue based on this whole thing that would women count for that 50? Right? Would they count to get you that that minimum number in the critical mass? So he wants to say yes based on this Rabbi Yaakov Emden.
That's okay. Question cool. Count for a 10 to eat it, right?
I don't know, but he says muchach shebekarban pesach nashim mechal asara. So he thinks not. Okay, so anyway, he wants to argue you need a minion, right? And he brings this proof from the story with Hillel. Zacchaeus, how does Hillel become the Nasi, right? Because he runs into B'nai B'seira, right? And B'nai B'seira, what do they have?
They asked the question if you could, if the Korban Mezbeach, we don't have the
Shabbat. Right, and he tells them that it can be, and then they attack him, Hillel Zacchaeus is in the Azara, and they all, gang up on him from all sides, and it's like out and out warfare. And
they
resign. Once he wins the right, when he wasn't applying for the job, once he wins the halacha, they raise him up, and then he gets angry at them, and then he forgets the halacha of if you're allowed to bring a carbon pesach on Shabbos, how do you get the sheep? How do you get the knife to the base of Mikdash? Right, because you can't carry the knife on Shabbos. So how do you get the knife to the base of Mikdash? So then he says. Right, B'nai Yisraelim Eina Nevi'im, B'nai Nevi'im Haim, right, so let's just look and see what they do, right, and they, the Jews would just take the knife of the, take the knife and they'd stick it in the wool, and then the sheep would carry its own knife to the Beis HaMikdash. But so in that halachic debate, so Hillel says, you always bring Karban Pesach on Shabbos, doesn't matter if it's a Karban Pesach of a Yachid or if it's a Karban Pesach of a Tzibur. So everyone asks for Pesach of Yachad, Karban Pesach of a Tzibur. What are those two things? So you want to argue, so Lechachila, Karban Pesach of a Minyan is a Karban Pesach where you have, or a Karban Pesach of a Tzibur is a Karban Pesach where you have a Minyan, right? And a Karban Pesach of a Yachad is where you couldn't get 10 people, you couldn't get your Chabur together. okay, fine. And he also points out that in our Gemara with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi who are arguing, so Rabbi Yossi said specifically, he mentioned having 10 people. He mentioned as a minimum number. He mentioned number 10. So he takes that seriously. He thinks he has to have a minion. Okay.
Is there an afkamina between this Korban Pesach of the Tzibur and Korban Pesach of the Yachid?
So I'll turn it over to you. Why would we think that? What do we make of this idea? They have to have a minion for your Korban Pesach. What do we do with that?
I mean, the halacha? Doesn't it seem like we're doing much with it? I mean, would we say that there are any things that...
Well, in other words, conceptually, we're taking his argument that the Karban Pesach has to or should be brought specifically by a minion, right? And this is not just 10 people, but a chalos of a minion, right? So, any conclusions I could draw from that? About how I should conceptualize the Karban Pesach?
Eating doesn't seem
interesting. Right, it's definitely emphasizing the
group between
nature. So I thought, what is at the end of the day, what is a minion?
Isn't the thing we read? Did we read the rough thing in this? Or maybe I just
which rough thing?
The idea of it being representative of everyone, like a minion of all.
We didn't do it, but elaborate because that sounds very.
I don't remember specific details, but that's the general idea.
Uh-huh.
Where do we get
minion from? An Eda is so mm-hmm. At its core, a minion is the smallest tzibur, right? So then, if every chabur is supposed to be a minion, then what he's saying is that you're supposed to bring a bunch, every Karban Pesach should be brought as a bunch of mini tziburim. Mm-hmm. So that's one model of combining Yachad and Rabim.
But I'm saying,
we're
saying that
you're going to bring it as mini tzibors.
If we're saying that Hillel talked about the Korban where they succeed in getting 10 people as the tzibor, mm-hmm. the Korban where they don't have B'yachid, Nafkamina Hilchatit, there's no difference between the two Korban.
Oh.
There's no situation in which, I only manage to scrounge together 5 people, so it's not halachically a different situation in terms of the situation that I am or am not able to bring
The chachila you have, you have one nicer, tefillin from a behema gasa, and b'diavad you get your tefillin from your behema daka, right? You've is the better way to do it, and the less better way to do it, I guess. Right?
But my point is that therefore it seems like he's making the statement that like this obligation of a minyan is sort of like a symbolic gesture towards the fact that this is supposed to be like Korban Tzibur. But ultimately, if you're not, it's not like that's an actual. It's not like that's the actual ikari part of the korban. Because if you're not able to scrounge together a minyan, it doesn't lose its status as this like semi korban tzibur by halakha from the fact that you haven't been able to get together a mini tzibur to sacrifice it. And so it doesn't seem like it's like.
Why can't we say that you're missing a kiyum? There's a kiyum to bring, right? There's a kiyum for a group to get together and bring a Karban Pesach as a mini tzibur. If you fail to do so, you miss that kiyum, and you miss the fundamental element of the Karban Pesach, because Karban Pesach is supposed to be brought in groups, right? And you fail to do so.
That's from a Hebrew, stop for a second. We're saying Korban Pesach has a certain nature as fundamental.
I understand what you're saying, especially if we're gonna. I hear it, and the carbon, and if he's emphasized carbon yachid and carbon sibur, so you'd want there to be some ramification, which there does not seem to be. I hear, yeah. Okay, but I just wanted to throw that out as like as one model of what it actually means, right? Where we're like balancing between yachid and sibur, right? So he wants to say, how do we have our cake and eat it too? So we'll be groups of many tzibur who are offering. I just thought that was a cool perspective. Okay, a different approach, right, just a different way of attacking the problem entirely really came from the Shud Zera Avram. I keep on looking up who the name of the Shud Zera Avram is, and I keep on forgetting. Obviously, the first name is Avraham. I forget his last name. But so he was, the Zera Avram was the son-in-law of the Meshech Chachma, right, the son-in-law of Rameir Simcha, the son-in-law of Rameir Simcha of Dvinsk, who died without children. So that's why they published these posthumously as the Zera Avram, because right? this is a legacy. And what makes it kind of doubly tragic is that a lot of the Shud Zera Avram, which was intended to be the surviving legacy of the author, is extended back and forth between him and his chavrusa. And Zera Avram's chavrusa was Rav Menachem Zemba, who was the, I guess, best known nowadays as the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto, who was like the Gadol Hador, Rav Chaim was passed away in 1940. So he was the Gadol Hador of the next generation. The next generation lasts for 2 years. We lost almost all of his chidushim. He had like a 1,000-page manuscript on the Rambam, which we lost. And
how do you know about it?
How do we know that? I think in letters he refers to it.
It's like the Rambam's pirush on the Rambam has a pirush on the Yerushalmi, a commentary on the Yerushalmi, which we have a page
really?
And a half.
Really?
Now they found recently these like a page and a half of the Rambam's pirush on Yerushalmi. And I think he also describes like several krachim of his pirush on the Bavli.
On the Bavli, right? I knew we knew he had pirush on the Bavli. I didn't know we knew.
He has something about like hilchot from the Yerushalmi.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
wow. Right. So same. Yeah. So we've lost almost everything from him. We have a short sefer on laws of hotzah on Shabbos, but some of the stuff we have is in here because we. The letters back and forth that they had in Divrei Torah were published in the Shud Zera Avram. So it not only does it preserve the legacy of, and it was published I think like in the 1920s, right? So at the time they knew it was preserving the legacy of the Zera Avram, but it was also preserving some of the legacy of Rav Menachem Zemba, which makes it even like eerier in this context is that, so he's talking about Karban Pesach here, right? And if you look at the very last line of this letter, right? So this is like his Pesach Dvar Torah, right? Yachug Chag Hatzot B'Ditzut, right? Jishas Shalom Menachem, and Menachem Zemba was murdered on Pesach during the battle in the Warsaw Ghetto. So, yeah, it's also Parshas Zachar this week. So. Okay, so a lot of resonance going on this week with this idea. Okay, so what does he have to say? So he basically comes out of the sheet of Rabbi Nassan, right? He kind of emphasizes the Rabbi Nassan model where we had the Yachid track and the Tzibur track. So he wants to say that, yeah, right, really everyone's going to agree that there are two levels of obligation in the Karban Pesach. There is the obligation of every Yachid to bring a Karban Pesach, and the Yachid's obligation really is exemplified in which core mitzvah of Karban Pesach. That's the core mitzvah of Karban Pesach, which can only be fulfilled by Yachidim.
To eat it.
To eat it, right, exactly, right, the consumption. But he argues there's also a chovas atzibur, right? There's a chovas ayachid and a chovas atzibur, right? The congregation as a whole is obligated to bring karban pesach. Under normal circumstances, so the tzibur we fulfill the chovas atzibur by having all the karbanot yachid, right? How does that make sense? How can we chop in a chovas atzibur through all the yachidim bringing their karbanos? Which concept could we break out from our Gemara? Which could explain that? That the individuals bringing their karbanos will fulfill a chovas atzibur. Kenufia, awesome, exactly, right? That's exactly what his argument is. That since the tzibur is not, the yachidim, they're not just bringing helter-skelter karbanos, right? But they're bringing this in a reality of asi bit kenufia. So he says what that does is that since they're coming together to bring their karbanos, they're fulfilling the communal obligation. So he says you can fulfill both chiyuvim, right, the chovas hayachid and the chovas hatzibur by bringing the karban pesach b'knufya. Then what Rabbi Nassan and the Chachamim will argue about is can you fulfill the chovas hatzibur in the absence of a kiyum hayachid. Right, so Rabbi Nassan, we have, everyone will agree that there are two levels of chiyuv, right? Rabbi Nassan will say we can fulfill the tzibur aspect without the yachid aspect, and the Chachamim will say that's absurd because Karban Pesach without achila is just not something that we can talk about, right? So you can't divorce them from each other, right? You're either fulfilling both or you're fulfilling neither. But that's the perspective that he brings to the table. That's his theory, right? We have our Am Yisrael has to bring Karban Pesach, and every Jew has to bring a Karban Pesach. And when every Jew comes together, b'kenufia, to bring their Karban Pesach, that is how we fulfill the Chovas HaTzibur with the Karban Yachid. Okay, so that's model number two. And then, closely related to what he has to say, I think we can just say slightly differently. Let's take a careful look at this Rashi in Psachim and this Rashi in Zvachim, which seem to contradict each other, but we can actually argue that it's like actually awesome. So what is Rashi saying? Psachim, Samach, Beis, and Beis. Someone give me a break.
Sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so this is the one in Zachim, right?
Yes.
Do you want to do the one in Psachim first? The one with the P? We'll do P and then we'll do Z.
Sure. Eno ba'arba avodot, ve'ein machshavet ochlin bezrika, machshavet achila lo shaycha bekarban tzibur, ze lo shaycha elo pesach. So, and the arba, and the four different types of avoda, you don't need machshavet ochlin bezrika, or what is that?
Yes, that means having in mind the people who are going to eat from the Karban Pesach.
Oh, okay. Machshavat Achila L'Shaycha B'Karban Tzibur. Right, you don't need Machshavat Achila for Karban Tzibur, except on Pesach. Except for the Karban Pesach. So this also seems like we're saying that Karban Pesach is a Karban Tzibur, but that's different.
Interesting. So I thought the opposite. I thought here he was saying that it doesn't exist in the world of Karban Tzibur.
Except for the Karban.
So I think it means since. I think since, because the only carbon which has machshavet ochlin is carbon pesach. That's the only one that you can.
It's learning from that carbon pesach. It's learning from carbon pesach. It doesn't exist in carbon pesach, as you're saying.
No, but there is machshavet ochlin for the carbon pesach, right?
Yes, it's
and
the
there's
only
not
carbon
for other carbon on Seymour.
Right. Just here, I don't think we can drop in other.
Then why would at the end it say Delo Shecha Ela Pesach? Then
because it's saying Delo Shecha Ela Pesach, like with Pesach, it's not Shaykh, and since Pesach is not a carbon seaboard,
therefore. Oh, I was reading it the lo shayef, like the machshava d'achila is not shayef except for Korban Pesach.
Yeah, I should.
Because isn't this clause right before it, machshava d'achila lo shayecha b'korban tzibur? You know, so that...
Like we learn from the fact that, that Pesach is a korban yachid, and we need machshava d'ochlin b'zrika, that therefore if it's not a korban yachid, then we don't need machshava d'ochlin b'zrika. And that's where we learn machshava d'achila lo shayecha b'korban tzibur.
Do you get why I'm reading it the way I was reading it?
Yeah, no, I totally do. I'm just looking at the Gemara. So I think what this really is this really is like two Dibur HaMaskils and Rashi next to each other, because, except it's not an actual Dibur HaMaskil, it's one of those Rashi just explains the next piece of Gemara without quoting the Gemara he's explaining. Because the Gemara says first that you only have Machshavat Achila for Shechita, and not for all four Avodot, and then it says that you don't have it for Karbanot Tzibur, you only have it for Karban Yachid. So that's why Rashi says you don't have it b'zrika, and then he says you don't have it for Karban Tzibur since you only have it for Karban Pesach. So this Rashi seems to be saying that that Karban Pesach is a Karban Yachid, and you translate it as a since and not as accept.
Mm-hmm.
But what does Rashi say in Zvachim? So do we know what a Baba Ketana is? Excellent. Right?
Yeah.
He's privately owned, right? Your backyard Mizbeach. Okay, so all, and what are Nidarim and Nidavot?
Things that people volunteer to give.
Yeah, excellent. Right? Voluntary Karbano can be offered on a Baba Ketana. Okay.
De'ilu b'Baba Gedola. Alkin karvo.
Yeah, I think it's al karcha.
Al karcha. Karvu chovat zibor. Dichtiv v'yasu et ha-pesach b'gilgal.
Period. Yeah, that's all I have to read.
Okay, so if it were brought on a bama gedola, then or on the bama gedola are brought the chovat zibor.
Right.
As it says, v'yasu et ha-pesach b'gilgal.
Yeah. So the Bama Gedola, that's the Bama where the Mishkan is being located at,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think we had three, right? We had Gilgal, and then we had
Shiloh,
right? So Shiloh was stone, so you can only bring Karmanos and Shiloh, and then we had Nov and Givon, right? And then after Nov and Givon, then we go from Givon to Yerushalayim. So during the period of Gilgal, or during the period of Nov and Givon, so you could bring karbanos in the backyard, but you can only bring your nedarim and nedavo, right? But what
Pesach has to be brought.
Exactly, right? So he says the chovat tzibur has to be brought in the Bama Gedola. And what's the example that Rashi gives of a chovat tzibur?
Pesach,
right? And he quotes you the pasuk from Yeshua, where they bring their karban Pesach. Okay, so we have Rashi calling it a karban yachid, and then we have Rashi calling it a chovat tzibur. So what on earth do we do with that?
You say that in the first Rashi, he was saying it was a karban tzibur.
What?
No, you say that.
Oh, you agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay, then you have no stira. So, there are a few other Rashis which call the karban pesach a karban yachid, which you'll have to trust me on now. I just gave two, but so even if I'm wrong here, which I'm really pretty sure I'm not, but even if I'm sure here, trust me that I'm right in other places. So let's assume that there are places where Rashi calls the karban pesach a karban yachid. And we also had Rashi, who was a Kanufia man. So, okay, no, that's good for you.
Oh,
because he said that the Chagiga is a karban tzibur since it's brought by Kanufia.
But the karban pesach is also tzibur.
Brought by Kanufia. Right, so you, in other words...
No, my argument was that in the first... Oh, never mind, you're right. That is better for me.
Yeah.
I forgot what I said.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, any suggestions? Karban Yachid, Chovat Tzibur? Is there a stira there?
Because he's saying it's not Korban Tzibur, does it necessarily mean that it's Korban Yachid?
Excellent point. I'm assuming the dichotomy. Good point.
Okay.
Note that. Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. He calls it a he does drop the tzibur word in Zvachim.
Right.
So right. it's definitely something. And he's definitely according to me, saying it's not tzibur in Pesachim. So even if we concede and say, you know, maybe something between Yachad and tzibur, that's still not tzibur. Right. So we still have a problem.
I think it definitely fits with Rashi's being a Kanufi man, that like it's not that the Kanufi is a carbon C that makes for carbon C boards, that it makes it a bunch of people doing carbon yachid at the same time.
Exactly. I think that's 100% the point. I think Chovas at Tzibur is really the perfect phrase for this.
Yeah.
Right. The Tzibur has an obligation to bring carbonos as individuals.
Yeah.
Right. You as a Tzibur have to come and come together, Bit Kanufia, bringing individual carboni Pesach. So we can say that the carbon Pesach is a carbon yachid that is being brought to fulfill a communal obligation. Which kind of sounds similar to the Sfarno's idea, right? That every single person, right? It's the carbon, the Sfarno had it as the carbon Tzibur, which is brought by every single person. Mm-hmm. Here we're kind of saying the same thing, just a little bit flipped, right? We're saying it's a carbon yachid, which is being brought to fulfill the Tzibur's chiyuv. And if you like, in there are all these connections between the carbon Pesach and the building up of the Am, right? And in Shmos for sure, but then like you go to Malachim and like whenever they want the national rejuvenation, so they're right. Chizkio is having the Am bring carbon Pesach and Tzidki and not Tzidkio, Halvai, and Yoshio is having the whole Am bring carbon Pesach together, right? Like there really is this intersect. The chi of kares, if you don't bring it, right, which we talked about last week. So you know this idea that the Karban Pesach, and the Karban Pesach also, you know, it's a builder of tzibur, right? It's a creator, it's a founder of tzibur. Your first talks about this a lot. The Karban Pesach is like the design to take the nation of the, you know, the group of slaves and found it into forging the nation of Am Yisrael. So if the goal is to, you know, if it's Afka about individuals and nation, or individuals becoming nation, and that's what's happening every time in Yeshua and in Chizkiah and Yoshia, that they were making a bris and we're trying to establish the nation by everyone coming together to bring this Karban Pesach, and this really could be a nice way of capturing that idea, right? That everybody is coming together individually with their own karbanos, which combined fuse together to fulfill this communal obligation. That could be like our third. So all three of these models, I think, are kind of related, right? We have Rav Kasha's model, which is that we have the mini tziburim, right? That we have yachid, we have tzibur. The way we do it is by making, minyanim, which are, you know, every mini, you know, not massive tzibur, but everyone's mini tzibur. We had Rav Nachum Zemba's suggestion that there are two levels of chiyuv, right? The chiyuv of the individual, the chiyuv of the obligation, and when everybody brings their own karbanos, they fulfill the chiyuv of the tzibur. And Rashi, we're really saying something similar, I think, just fleshing that a bit, right? That we're saying that it is a karban yachid, and by bringing it, you fulfill and bring it together. But kenafia, you fulfill a karban, a chovat tzibur. Okay, so ad kan on karban Pesach. Good. Shkach, any questions? No? Awesome. Okay, so now we have 15 minutes. So let's start to jump into Baruchas, and then we'll really hit the ground running on this on Friday. Okay. Did people see the Mishnah and Gemara yet?
Yeah.
It's short. Okay, awesome. Rachel, do you want to read it?
I'm going to read it over now.
Okay.
I have to read it. I have to open it two places.
Okay, so let's just set the scene. So what's going on here?
So we're talking about bringing the Ketoret into the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kohen Gadol is going into the Heichal until he gets to the in between the two curtains or whatever the parochet is, that separates between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and between them is one Amah.
Right.
Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Haitashem Ela Parochet Echad Bilvad, Shenemar V'Yivdila Parochet Lechem Bein HaKodesh Bein Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Rabbi Yossi says there's only one parochet, because it says in the Pasuk that that the parochet should divide for you between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Rekdesh.
Right. So what's Rav Yossi's drasha exactly?
He says it says parochet.
One parochet.
Not parochet.
Right.
Or whatever state parochet.
Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does Gar think it makes sense? What?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
a Rav
Yossi makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh,
Rav Yossi. Yeah, like, Gora thinks the Rosh makes a lot of sense, right? Because
yes.
What's the first thing Gora says? Right, coming off, coming out of the gate.
Yeah, Shavir Kamar later.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Taka. Good point.
Yeah. Shavir Kamar later. Rav Yossi Rabbanan. Rabbanan Amri Lach. Hani Milay B'Mishkan. So the Rabbanan are going to say, yeah, Rav Yossi makes sense, but we're talking about the Mishkan. Mm-hmm. Abba Mikdash Sheni Kivan Delo Have Ama Traksin Ubi Mikdash Rishon Hu. So they're going to say that it makes sense to say that there was one curtain in Mishkan, but in the second Beit HaMikdash, because there wasn't an Amah partition, and in the first Mikdash, there was a suffik for the Rabbanan, like if the kedusha of the parochet in that Amma area, was the Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim or of the Kodesh.
So then they did too. I think it's break Dehave. No? It's saying that in Mikdash Rishon they had it. And they didn't have it in the
second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just say it in a weird way.
Yeah.
Right. So it's,
yeah.
I think I call it punctuated correctly.
Yeah.
About Mikdash Sheni, Kevin Delo Have Amatraxin.
In the second one,
they did not have this Amatraxin.
It's in the space, and therefore they put two. Yeah.
Okay. So what is this Amatraxin?
It's like an Amma. So it sort of sounds like a wall of some sort.
It is a wall. Yeah, very good.
But like a solid wall. So then we just weren't quite sure how the Kohen would get through that. Like, yeah.
Yeah, good. Right. So in the base of Mikdash, right? So in the Mishkan, right, you just had the curtain, right? You have the curtain hanging up, floor to ceiling, and you're good to go. It's clear from Pesukim, and then the Gemara in Bava Basra says that they had this you had a choice. Basically you could make your partition. The Sparochas could be either made out of curtain or it could be made out of wall. So in Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash, the divider between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadashim was a stone wall. And the stone wall was how thick? You have to guess? One amah, right? One amah, the wall was one amah thick. Yeah, I think it was paneled with cedar wood.
The stone wall.
Right, exactly. Right,
okay.
So yeah, cedar paneling, but the actual structure is stone.
Okay.
Right, that's why they're... Adoniram is taking all the forced laborers to the quarries, right, to get all the stone for the building.
So in the first place, how they get through, how the going on?
Yeah, so it's the pasuk in Divrei HaYamim refers to a parochet. So there was a small, there was an entrance. There was a small entranceway
that was always open
in the wall, which had a parochet covering it. But that was not the primary partition between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadashim is the wall, right? You have the small paroches, which the poles of the Aron Kodesh poke through, right? Because the poles of the Aron Kodesh have to poke through the curtain.
What did you say?
It was the poles.
Oh, yeah, you were right.
What about what?
No, bod, whether bod meant fabric or poles.
Whether it was a perception?
Like the fabric itself, bod.
Like being between curtains or between two poles.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, the badi haron of the arms poles, which are poking through, and that's actually really important for Tosfot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Right, so now why couldn't they? Why not make a wall in the second base of Mikdash?
It was too tall and it couldn't support an amma thick wall.
Yeah, right. Because the taller your wall, the thicker your wall must be. Right. So in Bayis Sheni, the hall was taller than it was in Bayis Rishon. So you need to make a thicker wall. Okay, so why not just make a thicker wall? Yeah, very good, exactly, right? The dimensions were specified, right? The Pasuk in Duryam says that they it was operating through Nevuah to get the dimensions. And we're told you have 40 amos for the Kodesh, and you have 20 amos for the Kodesh HaKadashim. So you cannot go messing up the spaces, right? And if the amma is wall thick, so you can't make the amma more than wall thick. So, you know, 20 amas of Kodesh, 40 amas of Kodesh, right? 40 of Kodesh, 20 of Kodesh Kodashim. The divider is an amma thick. Mm-hmm. That's all you got. So if they can't increase the thickness of the wall, then they have to get rid of wall entirely. Okay. So put up a curtain. So why did they put up two curtains?
Just so they, because that, now that area became suffix as to whether it's part of the Kodesh or part of the Kodesh.
Yeah, right. That was point two. They weren't sure, right, whether that wall was part of the Kodesh or part of the Kodesh HaKadashim, right? Was it 19, 1, and 40, or was it 20, 1, and 39? Right, is this clear? Is this...
When we're talking about the wall, is there, like, a hole in the wall that the, like, that makes the doorway?
That's what I asked for.
Yes, that's what
we're saying. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right, like,
I'm just trying to visualize it. I know
so, right, the bird's eye view. Right, here's the Kodesh HaKadashim back here. Right, here's what the bird's eye view would be. And then there would be a curtain.
Right.
Right, just through between that little area. And you have the, right, Aaron's poles sticking out there. Okay.
But why couldn't they, if we, like, the basis of this discussion, like, is assuming that it's part of one of them, that one amma is part of either the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So why can't we make the wall thicker in one or the other direction? That doesn't take away from the 40 or the 20, clearly, because the Parochet is clearly part of one of them, so.
Okay, so by Asheni, we have the same dimensions. It's a bigger rectangle, but it's the same size rectangle. So we can't do wall anymore, right? We understand why wall
because
is
that. It's too tall.
But right.
Why can't we make it thicker? I'm saying, like, it's not taking. We're saying 39, 1, and 20, not 40 plus 20 plus 1. So what's the difference between, let's say, we decided it's part of the Kodesh, doing 38, 2, and 20? We're not taking away from the dimension of 40 from the Kodesh. Or the other way.
But I think because you're increasing the thickness of the parochet.
So the parochet itself is the dimension that's specified, not the size of the kodesh.
Well, because Rashi says the hosif al oveh yefshar dechsev hakol v'chsav miyad Hashem alai haskil. So it can't take up more space.
So it's that the thickness of the wall is specified.
Question. Just 1 second. I just make sure I'm not saying something not true. Yeah, the way Tosa Yeshanim says it is that we can't shrink the space. In other words, we can't eat into the space of the Kodesh eat into the space of the Kodesh HaKadashim.
What about, there's nothing to...
Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but then it makes it also seem like the Amma is that extra Amma is not included in the 40 and the 20.
In other words, you want to argue that it should be 61.
Something like that, because if we were to include it in the 60, then we wouldn't, then using another amma of space to make the parochet thicker wouldn't be eating up the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because it's still Kodesh. Like, let's say we decide it's Kodesh, say we decide it's Lechutz, and we say, okay, it's part of the Kodesh, that one amma, it's 1 plus 39, that we're not saying that one amma, which is required, is taking up space from the Kodesh, so therefore... An extra amma shouldn't be taking up space from the Kodesh either, because the parochet is part of the Kodesh. So that means that it has to be an extra amma, not part of the 40. Only if we say it's the dimensions of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim that are important, not if we say that it's the dimension of the amma that's relevant, of the parochet. because then if we then we could say, oh,
yeah, okay. So let's say you're right. So let's say okay. So let's say it's the dimensions. It's the dimensions of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim which are important. So I need 20. So I have 20 Amos and 40 Amos.
Mm.
We know that one of those two was actually not the case, right? Either it wasn't 20, it was 19, right? In other words, the whole the prochet has the sanctity of the Kodesh HaKodashim, but it's you know 19 amos of space plus one,
and we're not saying
or it was 39 plus one.
Yeah,
so,
and we're not saying that amma is taking away from the space from the Kodesh HaKodashim. Let's say it's let's say that one amma is part of the 20, and then we say okay, now the Kodesh HaKodashim is 19, and the prochet is one amma. We're not saying that amma is taking away from the Kodesh HaKodashim. So why can't it be thicker? So there, like, therefore, it either has to be that we're talking about an amma that's not included in the dimension of 60, or the actual dimension of the amma is what's important, not necessarily the kodesh, the kodesh, the kodesh, the kodesh. Which doesn't seem
right.
Like what Sveshan is saying.
Unless you say that you're allowed to take up one amma of space, but you weren't allowed to take up more than one amma of space. But I'm not sure. I hear where you're coming from. Difficult. Okay, whatever the exact cause for the second curtain is, right? So I think we have like a basic understanding of why we need it to, right? At some level, we can't use wall because it's too tall for wall, right? Raquel's question. Yeah.
Are we assuming that in the Mishkan we had it like perfectly how we wanted it, like 20-40 and just the curtain? Or are we assuming that the curtain? Yeah, because it was one curtain, right?
Yeah, I think the dimensions in the Mishkan were smaller.
Yeah, but isn't there any example we can draw from the Mishkan about applying it to the Bayit Shni?
I guess the problem is going to be that, in other words, you're saying because in the Mishkan we had the curtain paradigm.
Yeah.
But we also had different.
We had different measurements.
Dimensions, right?
Right, but like if it was like 10 and 20, then or like. 21. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, if it was drawing from one of them, it would be clear kind of like which one it was taking from.
Right, but in the Mishkan, if it was just a curtain, then it wouldn't be eating into either space, right? Because it's just...
Right.
It's just a curtain.
Right, but like if the...
If it's a wall,
like,
then it's eating into the space
like
of
the
one of the two places.
Were, like, even, and like, as in like, there isn't anything to infer to like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, if the dimensions were very even, then it would make sense that it was, like, supposed to be that way. And then, I'm, like, not saying, well, but if the dimensions were perfect for the Mishkan, then couldn't we just carry those over to Bayit Shni and then say, well, if it doesn't work putting it to this side, then we'll put it to the other side?
What's it?
The curtain. Because it's on either side of the one amma.
But that one amma is not, it's not partitioned off by another curtain. So, like, essentially, like, it's on the exact border, and then there's either an amma on one side or an amma on the other.
Right.
Like, that's, I think, what the argument is.
So I'm saying we're adding to one side, but in the Mishkan, it was, like, perfect measurements, and then...
Well, there wasn't a truck scene in the Mishkan. That's, you didn't have this issue.
It was the curtain.
Right, but the whole issue is that we have this, like, dead space.
Exactly.
Kind of.
The space that
didn't exist in the Mishkan because it was all curtains. We didn't have this wall with, like, a tiny little amma that we're wondering what the status was.
Yeah.
So
no,
that's the issue.
Like, obviously, obviously it would say if there was something to take from the Mishkan to here, but it just seems weird. Yeah.
Right. That's the problem is that we're taking from the Mishkan to here, right? Because the Mishkan did not have dead space.
Yeah.
And the base, right, we're calling it dead space, but
it's a truck scene.
Exactly,
that,
right? No offense to the Amatraxin, right? We're going to talk about how important the prophet was. But so we're taking the means of dividing the Mishkan, where there was no space, we're transplanting
that, like,
it to
the
Mikdash,
the
where there was space, and now we have a problem, because we're using a one-dimensional object to fill a two-dimensional or three-dimensional
space.
Yeah.
One dimension is
two-dimensional,
a point, right? Two-dimensional is a line.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like the...
Two-dimensional is paper.
Yeah.
So two-dimensional is paper.
The curtain would be 2D.
Okay, and so the wall would be 3D. Great, okay,
right.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right, so we're taking, exactly, we're taking 2D and we're trying to get into 3D, and that's a problem. Okay, so what, the question, I mean, well, it's already 9:30, right, so the question which will set everyone off going is, why do we need two curtains? Why couldn't we, A, what's so bad about having a curtain in the wrong place, right, that's basically the question, like, why not just have one curtain? If one curtain's in the wrong place, like, no, why do we have to have two curtains to make sure that we are fencing off the right place? Why not just have one curtain? Toso asks, why not have a thick curtain, right? And the basic question that the Toso Shalom Toso, so the Red Frog, gonna ask is, why do we need to have two curtains? And then we'll get to Yerushalmi, and we'll ask, do we need to have two curtains? Or do we ever not need two curtains? Okay, fine. So let's stop with now. Tomorrow I'll send out a card for the next couple weeks, probably. So we're meeting Friday, 8:45.
Yes.
I guess this room, or
probably that room.
Probably that room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.